With me on the line to talk about what's been a pretty eventful week in the European Parliament is Michael McNamara, Ireland South MEP. Michael, good morning to you, Independence MEP for Ireland South, I should say. Michael, good morning to you. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Jerry. Thanks very much for having me on.
Can I talk to you first of all about Mercosur? Are you totally opposed to this deal or opposed to it in its existence right now? And what do you think is going to happen with it from here?
Look, I think we need trade deals, but we also need to maintain our standards, and we need to maintain the direction that Europe's been travelling in for 40 years now, asking farmers to farm in a more environmentally conscious way, in a way that reduces antibiotics, antiparasitics, and promotes animal welfare. This deal flies in the face of all of that. I think that does. I think the French government is very much in favour of trade. The Polish government, the Irish government itself has acknowledged how dependent we are on trade. But it has to be a good deal. It has to be a fair deal. It has to be one that's compatible with European standards. And unfortunately, when it comes to beef, South America is not. So that's the aspect of it that I'm very concerned about. But I would love to see a deal with South America. I'd love to see a deal with India, and one is proposed with India going forward. But it's just, I think this is a bad deal. And also,
what do you make of your colleague in MEP, Sean Kelly? He's saying that those sort of comments, and from some, not you, but from some of the language being used, even with regards to food safety, is scaremongering.
I don't think it's scaremongering. If you look at what the IFA and the Farmers Journal found when they went to Brazil very recently, and they went to Brazil 10 years ago and the situation hadn't changed. I mean, they were able to buy these growth hormones which are banned in Europe because they're carcinogenic.
Yeah.
They were able to buy them over the counter.
But I understand where you're going, and I don't want to get back into the weeds of it, because we'll be talking about it. We've everything to talk about. But the idea that you can draw a straight line from what's sold in some hardware store in Brazil to what might arrive and be tested and be assessed before coming into Europe in a couple of years' time, is that really a straight line?
Well, the European Commission have tested beef products coming from South America and found that it's very hard. I mean, some of the additives that they add are very harmful, but they're very hard to detect after a particular period of time, notwithstanding how harmful they are. They have flagged that themselves in a report, I think, in April 2024, DG Sante. So I think that there is, unfortunately, a line to be drawn there that some of what they're exporting or seeking to export is harmful. Also, some of what they're exporting and seeking to export is sent back, I mean, because additives are found in it, but we only test about 1% of the batches that are sent into the European Union. So if we're going to have more batches coming in and we're only going to be testing the same amount, well, then there is a real risk that beef with those additives will be sold to the European consumers. But moreover, the farmers who produce that beef have a much lower cost base because they don't have to adhere to the same standards as European farmers do. So it's unfair as well as dangerous, in my view.
Okay, and that's where you'll be going when it does come back from a vote.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your view on what's happened internationally this week, Michael? As a European Union MEP, a fellow country threatened, the chaos really that's coming out of the US administration when it comes to its alliances with Europe and the EU?
Yeah, I mean, there is a level of chaos coming out of it, threatening. I think, you know, the European Union has to defend itself. I think there's a difference between defending itself and defending other countries. I think Zelensky's comments were a little bit lecturing the European Union after it just agreed to pay, including the Irish government, by the way, agreed to pay 90 billion euros of European taxpayers' money over to Ukraine, money that we will never get back. There's a lot of talk about frozen Russian assets. That's just nonsense. They will not be used. The Belgians do not want them used because they're based in Belgium, but it would be contrary to international law to use them. Everybody knows that. So 90 billion euros of European taxpayers' money is now being pledged to support the Ukrainian economy, and he's lecturing Ukraine. Trump, on the other hand, is not in receipt of European taxpayers' money. He was elected on the basis that he would look after America and only America. You may disagree with that, but that's the basis upon which he was elected. And to a certain extent, he's done that. However, I suppose making enemies of all of your friends doesn't necessarily make you stronger, and he does seem to be getting dangerously close to that position when it comes to Europe, when it comes to Canada, when it comes to other parts of the world. But undoubtedly, the focus of America is moving very much away from Europe to China, and the threat that they perceive from China in terms of strength in the world and who's the superpower in the world. It does appear that China is, if not already there, then rapidly approaching the status of a superpower.
How should we respond to that as a small country on the western edge of Europe that's an open trader with all of the world?
Well, so first of all, to try to understand our adversaries. I mean, I think everybody's is there's a like, you know, on some ways, Trump isn't that different to the Americans in that sort of pivot away from Europe towards, or sorry, that different to the Democrats in terms of that pivot away from Europe and towards China. It's something that even the Obama administration started. I think you have to try to understand your adversary, but equally we have to be prepared to take risks. If tariffs were introduced as a way of coercing Europe, we have to be prepared to respond and stand up for ourselves. It does appear from his past behaviour that is what Trump respects. I mean, some of the obsequious meetings between European leaders and Trump are frankly an embarrassment. When he threatened China, Xi said, that's fine, but you're cut off your supply of rare earths that you desperately need for technology, and suddenly he backed down. That may be part of what's motivating him towards Greenland, as well as, of course, security. It may be also access to rare earths that are there. But I think Europe equally needs access to rare earths. Greenland is part of Europe. I suppose Europe has to show that it is prepared to stand up for itself and is prepared to utilise this anti-coercion measure if required to do so. I think the French government were in the lead in that. They didn't get much support from other countries, but I think they were right in this regard.
Okay, Michael, stay with us on the line. We're going to talk a bit more about one or two other things, if you'll be so kind. We'll talk about that after we take these.
Thanks.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with KWD Recycling, collecting waste and recycling at your door.
Yeah, we're talking with Michael McNamara, MEP for Ireland South. And Michael, look, some very sad news has just come true to us here, that the death has taken place of former Independent and Fianna Fáil MEP Brian Crowley. He's passed away at the age of 61. He was unwell for some time. He died this morning at Cork University Hospital, where he'd be receiving treatment. He was elected to the European Parliament 5 times, one of the biggest vote getters in the country, and leaves behind a lasting European legacy, European political legacy.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that, but may he rest in peace, and obviously my condolences to his family at this time, and also I suppose his very large group of supporters right in his network right across Ireland South, those who knew him. I mean, he dedicated his life to politics, and it is indeed sad news. I wasn't actually aware that he was as unwell as that, but I didn't know Brian. I mean, I didn't ever serve with him in either. I mean, I was in the Dáil when he was in Europe, and I didn't know him personally, but people do speak fondly of him still, both in Fianna Fáil, and I suppose he was also in the European Conservatives group at some point, and was, I think, the vice president of that, and he's still held in high regard in that grouping.
Okay, can I ask you, Michael, you've been speaking in the last few days about the whole prevalence of dodgy boxes, basically people illegally streaming content from across the European Union, across the world, really, a lot of them operating here in Ireland. But you're asking some questions of the providers of that content in terms of the amount of money people are being charged and the fragmentation of the market, particularly, I guess, in the sports area here. As to a possible cause for that? Is that it?
Well, look, there was a debate in the European Parliament about the necessity to counter digital piracy, and I agree that absolutely we need to counter it. But I think you also just need to look at bigger picture, and I think part of the bigger picture is the cost of subscriptions, and as you said, the fragmentation. You know, you have a subscription for one, you want to watch something else, you have to get a subscription for that and that and that and that and all the add-ons, and I suppose people start out with a relatively modest package and they end up with all these add-ons, and then of course after a certain introductory period, you know, the way they're advertised is an introductory period and it costs X amount per month, but then it switches to Y amount per month for the remainder of the period. But not only that, they roll it over on the basis of the higher amount, and there was a court case recently in the Irish High Court where Sky said that they were under no obligation to inform people that their contract was coming to an end, and they were under no obligation to offer them the new lower amounts that are available to other consumers. That seems to me to be very unfair, and I think at some point there's a danger that these subscription companies are pricing themselves out of the market. Like when, for example, the government put tax on cigarettes, everybody agrees digital piracy is a very bad thing. Everybody agrees smoking is bad for people's health. The government put a tax on it. But they're very conscious of the fact that there does come a tipping point, which if you go over that tipping point, all you're doing is really driving people towards the black market in smoking. And I think the subscription companies in their practices and the prices they're asking people to pay are kind of very close to that tipping point at the moment.
Yeah, it's all going one direction, isn't it? When you look at the sports rights market, the amount of money being paid by television companies to sporting clubs and corporations for the right to show their games, the charges then that streamed on, it only ever goes. I never, ever hear of it going down. Is that your central point, that if they keep going this way, if it keeps going up, yep, someone has to pay, and it's the end user, and that's where do things end up there, despite the fact that, obviously for good reasons anyway, governments fund sporting organizations to produce these sporting superstars?
Exactly. I mean, this was in every country, sporting organisations are funded. In Ireland, they're funded too, like every other. The government put substantial money into funding the organisations, but they also put substantial money into building their stadia, for example. The GAA is one example. And then, of course, you've RTE, which the government put substantial money into, and then they come together and put a lot of matches behind paywalls. Now, they would say that they're making more matches available to people. That is true, but undoubtedly there are matches which would otherwise be live on television and free to air that are now ending up behind paywalls, because part of the paywall, they want to make it attractive to pay for GA Go, etc. So some of the matches that are put behind it are matches that would otherwise be free to air. And I just think we need to consider where we're going. I'm not condoning the big companies that are helping, that are providing the dodgy boxes, that they're making money illegally. That's wrong. I'm not condoning the use of them. But I think you have to look at the bigger picture. And I think, like, some countries are going towards administrative fines, like people sort of, if they were identified, if there's a raid of a dodgy box operator, if people find out, if they're found to be unlisted, they get a fine in the post that they can challenge in court, the same way as a sort of a fixed penalty notice. Italy's gone down that road, Greece, other countries. But I'm not sure that's going to be a solution. I'm not sure that alone. I think the subscription companies need to improve how they treat their customers as well. I mean, I think there are two sides to it, and I'm not sure I'd like to see that administrative fines method introduced in Ireland.
Okay, Michael, listen, we're going to leave it there. My thanks to you for talking to us in the programme this morning about those issues. That's Michael McNamara, Ireland South MEP. If you have a view on what he had to say, get in touch with us in the programme. He's an independent MEP for Ireland South, talking about those issues like Mercosur, why he's voting the way he's voting. And that issue, what do you make of it? The streaming costs that you're paying for, I suppose, sport and other content out there, the fragmentation of it. He's not suggesting it justifies the illegality of having a dodgy box, but does he have a point? Where does it all go? Where does it all end if more and more money gets paid for sports rights, more and more money demanded, then there's an affordability out there and there's an exclusion out there. And it's not great news for the sports either, I might add. If you've less children being able to watch because they can't afford it, then they're less encouraged to play, they're less encouraged to be involved. And that has a knock-on effect for the individual popularity of those sports too. So anyway, give us your thoughts on that one. I'd love to hear from you on the show. We'll have more after we take these.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with KWD Recycling, collecting waste and recycling at your door.